know more about what matters in your life because you listen to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Jenna Barr. 9 till 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The opinions expressed on this edition of Pensacola Expert Panel are not necessarily those of News Radio 92.3 AM 1620, but rather the opinions of the sponsor, Claimology, with host Matthew Vanderford.
Welcome to your Pensacola Expert Panel. It's 10:35 here at News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Jenna Barr. Matthew Vanderford is here. Call or text in with your questions, 850-437-1620. We tend to get busy towards the end of our segment, so we want to give you an opportunity to ask your question, get some information from Matthew. Maybe, you know, we just saw Tropical Storm Claudette come through last week, right, Matthew?
Yes.
And it kind of was a gentle-ish reminder that we really need to be ready.
Very early reminder, because typically we don't get these type of systems that move in until a little bit later in the season. And so to have one this early, literally at the onset, was like, wow. And it was a significant little storm. It did come through. I mean, there were bands. We were on the dirty side of it. There's definitely damage that's because of it. There's spin-off stuff that happened. So, I mean, this was a good system that moved through. So take the cautions, be prepared, get ready. Get ready for another jam-packed year of a wild, adventurous ride. And in the words of a friend named Sadi, it said, I'm trying to remember the quote here, because remembering quotes are very important, what people said, right?
Right.
And making sure you say it right.
Yes, paying also, them honor,
it's like
getting
a joke,
message
though.
Out.
You got to make sure the joke goes right, right?
Always.
Right, so isn't that really bad? Like, you start telling a joke, and you're like, yeah, oh,
wait,
God.
How did it go?
What?
Wait, no, don't listen to anything I just said.
Right?
Let me start again.
Forget that joke, right? Right. No, but Sadi said, stay strong and weather the storm. It'll be the ride of your life. So that was a great saying. So there's going to be storms. Stay strong. Weather the storm. You have to weather the storm, which means we got to survive it, which we are. We're survivors. So here we are. And Claimology helps you survive the claims experience. So if you need help looking at your property at any given time, Hurricane Sally just rolled through. This year, this legislative season, as of July the 1st, moving forward, all claims related to hurricane claims, you'll only have a two-year window to file a claim. Hurricane Sally, you should have 3 years. Again, I'm not an attorney, but after speaking with attorneys, because I've also spoken with other adjusters on the other side, and believe it or not, the other side is actually interpreting the new legislation to mean that even Hurricane Sally will only have a two-year window. So they'll fight it. They're going to start raising defenses, because this is what's actually being told to me from people who work from the inside of insurance companies. So, and just the exchange of information, which was really cool, how do you interpret this new legislation? That was a really cool conversation to have with a senior claims person from a carrier. You don't get to have those conversations every once in a while, but this one was really cool. So I'm very grateful for the conversation. And he ended up explaining, he's like, listen, we just had a team meeting about this. And he's like, and the way they're interpreting it is that, hey, probably Hurricane Sally will be 2 years. So it's going to be just another thing that your insurance carrier may or may not try to pass off in this legislative season by saying you don't have the full 3 years. So, however, yeah, so it's going to become a little muddled gray area. So, which means you want to make sure you get your Hurricane Sally stuff in quickly. Don't wait. Come out, have an inspection done.
And that's the other thing, is the amount of time you have to wait for inspections. Mm-hmm. We saw Brewton, Alabama, the tornadoes that ripped through. We saw homes demolished and damaged. We saw some reports that possible touchdowns of smaller tornadoes hit in Pensacola. They can't confirm it completely, but from the pictures and the reports. But my whole thing is like, I saw this one story, and I brought it up the other day, and it was on WEAR, and a gentleman who lived in a trailer home had bought it, and it was on a piece of land. It was destroyed. He had no insurance at all. So you think about that and how now he's not covered at all. He has to come out of pocket completely. And if he had had some minimal coverage or something, would he have at least had an opportunity to get help through a claim?
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, having insurance, having the right insurance is so important. You want to make sure that you are protecting what you're working for. Get the right insurance. You want to make sure you have flood insurance, more than likely, especially if you're not in a flood zone. It's very inexpensive, but anything can happen. We had lots and lots of rain that came through the tropical storm, so you might not have had a windstorm that messed your house up, but you got a lot of rain. The next thing you know, your neighbors, let's say the community drain that you're using, right, overflows. Like, there's a neighborhoods all up and down here where they're all connected to waterways that are kind of like drain off and runoffs. Those get overflowed all the time. And so if those get overflowed, you might have a flood event where even your insurance that you thought you had was going to cover you, but it doesn't because you don't have flood insurance. So you just got to make sure, if you have questions about, do I have the right insurance, you can call us. I don't sell insurance, so I have nothing to gain except to help give you information about, hey, this is what you should look out for. And hopefully we become friends, because that's the name of it. Hey, I'm here to be your friend. I'm here to help you. And God forbid there is an incident that you have happen. Hey, you have a friend here to help you. That's what we do at Claimology. We really are your friends. We're your advocates. We're someone that knows what to do, that can come alongside of you when you need it most. That's what friends are for. And so if that's what the carriers want to say, like a good neighbor, all these things, well, you need a friend. And right. Claimology is your friend. You need a friend in Claimology.
And a lot of times you have questions.
Yes.
Already you're like, how am I going to survive this? How am I going to come back from this? There's so many different questions that go through your mind. And so being able to, you know, you have that claim that you're opening with your insurance company, get an inspector out there. It doesn't hurt at all to reach out and ask for a public adjuster's opinion to look at it as an outside third party. And I want to ask you about the appraisal and umpire services. So umpire services, dive a little bit deeper into that.
Okay, so that kind of ties into the appraisal process. So let's just say right now you've had an insurance claim and you're here listening and you had Hurricane Sally damage, and you are in your policy, it says you have the right to go to appraisal. That's almost like arbitration. Some policies have it, some policies don't. Everything depends on the policy. But if your policy does allow for appraisal, it's a way to sidestep the legal system, in the sense of you don't have to sue your insurance company, but you can hire an appraiser to reevaluate that. And the umpire is that type of service where they're the third party. So in the policy, it states that it's a three-party panel, and two of the three just have to agree, and their decision becomes binding. So two of the people would be the person that appraises it for you, the insured, the person that appraises it for the carrier, and then the umpire. The umpire's like the judge, kind of, so to speak, in a way.
Okay, I like that. He's the judge. Well, we like, you know, the umpire helps keep the game flowing, everybody, you know, being sportsmanlike and fair. Mm-hmm. So yes, that's a really good way to explain it.
Yes.
Speaking of fairness, this question comes in, and it's not always fair, and I've kind of already have the answer, but I want to read this to you. So I have a property line and a privacy fence in my yard. On the other side is a tree that is in my neighbor's yard. This rather large tree leans over my fence. If during this hurricane season, and we are seeing it's already heightened, yeah, we are. Mm-hmm. If that tree branch falls on my property, which we saw a lot of this happen during Sally, will I be responsible for that coverage, or do I seek the insurance company through my neighbor? I feel like this is always an argument back and forth. This can be really hurt neighbor relationships too.
Ultimately, you want your own policy to protect you, because take, for example, let's just say your neighbor's tree stays up during a hurricane, but somebody's mailbox three doors down comes flying through, boom, your window of your house, right? You don't go after that person. No, you have to have your own home insurance. So God forbid. So even if it is your neighbor's tree and it falls on your fence, you need coverage. So you want to make sure, and that goes under coverage B. On your declarations page, if you look at that, it's coverage B, it's other structures. And so those are the things that you're going to want to make sure that you have good amounts on, because typically they're underinsured. So if you have a fence line that needs to get replaced, I mean, look at the cost of lumber. Holy moly, I couldn't imagine what it's going to cost right now to replace wooden fences. oh my gosh, it's going to be like, this was what, $500 a panel? Now it's $5,000 a panel. I don't know. It's crazy. So
there's a lot to consider.
Yeah, make sure you have the right amount of money this year. I'm telling you, everybody, you want to, I mean, man, the construction costs alone are going to drive people to get more insurance.
And we're seeing it more and more. I mean, that you hear it, like, that people are funny, like, hey, I saw scraps of wood on the side of Fairfield, you know, and like, go pick it up. Like,
awesome. right.
We like to reduce, reuse, and recycle, right, Matthew?
Absolutely.
Talking about recycling books and doing things like that. However, make sure that, you know, wood is sturdy if you're building things with it. But those are just so many of the different components of hurricane season that you don't want to wait until after the storm to start thinking about it.
Yes.
So when you're looking at your policy, and we just had these recent changes in the legislation happening, and we've talked about this before, but when you're looking at your policy and coverage for storm damage, you mentioned flooding, some property damage, but what are other things you just don't think of that should be in the policy that either when we're looking at, we don't look at the fine print, right? You don't always read that fine print.
Yeah, the next is going to be mold. You really want to make sure your mold endorsement, that you have mold endorsement, that you have at least, I mean, the bare minimum of $10,000 is the bare minimum, which anyone carrier should have, but you want more, honestly. Microbial growth in your home, it gets crazy. I mean, I see losses all the time where it's, I mean, just to remediate the mold could be $40,000. I mean, seriously, mold is everywhere. And see, that's what happened before all of the claims with mold. It used to just be under the standard coverage dwelling A, so there was a much higher limit. It gave the value of the property to clean. Carriers were like, no way, that's way too much exposure. How do we limit our exposure but still offer the same type of coverage? They offer a limited endorsement. So it means, yeah, we're going to offer you coverage, but we're limiting our exposure. So that's why you want to make sure if you can get a $25,000 limit per occurrence on mold, that's a good amount. That's a nice amount. Anything over than that's just above and beyond. That's blessings. I mean, that's really great if you want to take advantage of that.
Okay.
If your carrier offers $50,000, take advantage of it. I know some carriers do.
Well, and I mean, this could be a dumb question, but will that make your policy cost go up for more mold coverage? Because we live in a moist area. Mold is bound to happen.
Yeah, but it's not like one of the major. I mean, it is when you get the higher premiums, but it does offset. It's worth it, you know.
All right, because I mean,
but it might not be much. Every premium's different. Every policy's different. I mean, I don't sell the policy, so.
Right, and that's the other thing is once somebody is taking a look at a policy, can you help them look through the current policy they have, just as Claimology, and see if there need to be changes made?
Absolutely. I was just approached today. I was having a conversation and the question came up was, hey, would you mind taking a look at these policies and seeing whether or not what we have is adequate? And I said, yeah, absolutely. That's no problem. I was like, first and foremost, do yourself some homework. I said, go through your contents right now and just think about how much it would cost to replace those contents if they were all gone. Brand new shoes, purses, tools, whatever. Go through it all right now. Make a list in your head and you'll be like, wow, you know what? I bought this on sale. However, that was a flash sale that I bought this $5,000 flat screen plasma, whatever, entertainment system. I got it on sale, whatever. Well, that sale doesn't exist anymore. What would it cost to replace it now?
That's
what you want to think about. I mean, because believe me, being thrifty is really, really good. You know what I mean? But think about, hey, listen, I got a great deal on furniture, but I can't get that great deal again. Nope, I need to go replace it. This is what it's going to cost to replace it today. Wow, this is the amount of insurance I should have. So that's how you want to think about it.
Pretty much, you can go ahead and make like a registry for your home.
Yeah.
Like, this is what I own. It might make you reconsider how much you should own. We've talked about this many times. Becoming minimalists, you know, what sparks joy, what doesn't, getting rid of it. Would this be hard to replace? You know, is this precious to me? And then reconsidering, you know, I get it. I like shoes. Yeah. Matthew does not.
I've taken my sandals off today. Yeah,
I love it.
It's great.
Listen, be you. But again, taking a look during this time, we get a little bit of a break. We don't see any systems coming in. We heard the next 5 days should be pretty quiet, except for, of course, our lovely rain showers we get here and there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, taking a look and see, what do I have that I want protected?
Yes.
What do I have that I want covered? Because it's better to have, you know, as we say, took us covered now than later on be like, man, I wish I would have.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
And if you have any questions or you want to reach out to Matthew and his team at Climology, insuranceadjusterschoolhouse.com.
Yes.
Not just adjusters, you're educators.
Yes. We really do. We try to educate people and let people know. We're also, I mean, as an educating schoolhouse, we actually train people as public adjusters to become public adjusters, to help people understand, hey, if you want to change your life and get into a career that actually helps people and changes the community and changes your life, we do that too. And that's part of the Insurance Adjusting Schoolhouse. And you can reach us at 850-684-4794.
I love that. So, and I want to talk about that in just a moment. I want to remind you, if you're listening, you're listening to News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. This is your Pensacola expert panel, Matthew Vanderford. He is a public adjuster with Climology. He just mentioned you can become a public adjuster too. I want to talk about that. But if you have a question, 850-437-1620. So how easy is it for one to become a public adjuster? How many hours do you have to get like your certification? What's the process behind it?
What's a 6-month process?
Okay.
Yeah, it used to be a year, and so it was changed from 6 months. You have to be underneath basically as an apprentice, and you basically are taught from the person that brings you in as an understudy. You have to go through a series of tests beforehand. You have to be bonded too as well. You have to carry a bond, make sure you pass your fingerprints and background checks and everything like that. And then once that comes back and you pass your tests, then you go through a 6-month apprenticeship, and then technically you can now become a licensed public adjuster. And so it takes about 6 months.
6 months. That's not bad at all.
Yeah.
You think about it, yeah. Like, and the hours, and I'm just going to go ahead and compare it to something, because a lot of people, with the way the real estate business has been, right, the market has been crazy. People have been like, oh, I should become a realtor, mm-hmm. right? Selling, going through all that. You're going through like over 100 hours of training, and then you take tests, and there's all these qualifying measures that you have to go through. Is it similar to that, or is it a little bit
Yeah,
easier?
No, it's very similar.
Okay.
I mean, you have to take tests, and the tests are just, they're all, I mean, it's all insurance-based tests and state-regulated questions. I'm probably going to become a little more cumbersome now because of all the new legislation that's passed in relationship to what it actually is defined as a public adjuster. So take, for example, if you already hold an all lines licensed as an adjuster, you can then swap it over. You can transfer it. So even if you're already in the insurance business, you can kind of change your licenses over. That's how I was able to do. That's kind of how my path was. I already was already an independent adjuster, and I just was able to transfer mine over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, through a different, yeah. So there's, it depending upon if you have licenses or don't hold licenses, there's a couple different paths in relationship to your experience.
Okay.
Of what it takes to become a public adjuster.
So all lines, pretty much, you can look at all types of claims, and it's that property claims?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that's like someone that would be representing the insurance carrier. Those people are supposed to be all lines licensed adjusters. And so now there's actually legislation, which is positive legislation, that the insurance companies are now, I just read this morning, but it was early, so I don't know if I was sleeping and reading at the same time. However, but the legislation, I think, is requiring now that upon request, that the field adjuster has to produce licensure. Like they have to produce their, I don't know if it's on request or not request. I could be misquoting the new information in the Senate bills. But that's something that's actually added, which is a good positive impact, because I do know of people that suffered loss from Hurricane Michael down in Panama City that had people come to their homes that were representing the insurance carrier that were not even licensed as adjusters. They literally were pizza delivery people and truck drivers. Like not that, I mean, that could have been fine if they were that, and they were also licensed as an adjuster, right? Who cares? But they were like, that wasn't even their job. Like, does that make sense? Like, so you have a person that's delivering pizzas, Like, that's not like, hey, I'm adjusting your house for damage. Do you want pepperonis with that?
Oh,
like, what do you
goodness.
Like, what do you do? Right? Like,
well, I'm biting my tongue right now.
Right. And so it has to take that particular person and their home. Oh my gosh, their house had so much damage. This is I laugh because they were able to prove, but they had to go to court and they had to do all this stuff, and they were able to document and prove that the people that came out to their property were not licensed and no qualifications being there. And thus the insurance companies paid what they needed to pay.
Yeah, we definitely want somebody who's qualified to do the job. Hey, here's a question. I was trying to read it as fast as I could before I read it out loud. So, recently bought a home. It's a newer home built within the last 4 to 5 years. We moved in, and within a month, we noticed leaking and extra water on the outside of our standing shower in the master bathroom. Okay. We decided to investigate and peel back and notice that it looks like years of water damage and wood rot was behind the tile.
Mm-hmm.
Now we're looking at almost a $30,000 replacement bill for the entire shower itself, the tile, the woodwork, joists, everything. Is this something that should have been recognized or taken note of in an inspection? How do inspectors not notice this, and how is this not disclosed in a buying process?
Well, this is a very interesting thing because, I mean, I do deal with this type of thing with claims, running into these incidents. I'm not an appraiser, I'm not a licensed real estate appraiser, right? I do have to qualify and say that. What I am going to say is that, interestingly enough, it's hidden. It sounds like it was unseen. It was unknown. It was behind the walls. It was like, so you're talking about the studs, like in between the bones of the building. If just ask yourself a question, how many times, because I'll be very honest, I'm actually going through a home inspector's course right now. I mean, this is very interesting information. I'm talking about this. So what the duties of what a home inspector is actually required to do aren't very much. Like, they really aren't. And that's why the home inspector's reports are really kind of very suspect. A lot of times you don't know what you're going to get. So, it's very interesting what actually they're like required. They're like the flue and the damper and to flush the toilets and things like this. I mean, they're not required to knock on walls. They're not required to start probing into hidden and unseen spaces. That's not the role of the appraiser. And so the appraiser has a pretty much just a standard checklist of what they're going to look for. So unless it was like not seen by the eye, like a big water stain that wasn't noted, like that should have been caught if there was a water stain.
True.
Because believe it or not, I've had home inspectors reports that have noted damage on things that, or the absence of damage on things during a claim to identify or help an insured. So, I mean, the reports are supposed to catch some stuff like that if it's noticeable.
Yeah.
So I'm very sorry for what's going on. However, you may have an insurance claim that you don't know about.
That's
your
true.
Policy could provide you coverage depending
yes.
upon your situation. If anyone has any questions, you could reach us at 850-684-4794 or www.insuranceadjusterschoolhouse.com.
Yes. And again, that is very frightening to think about, especially with all the homes being sold. But again, if you want that third party to take a look at your claim, your coverage, what's going on in that situation, reach out to Matthew and his team. Thank you, Matthew, for hanging out with me today. Thank
Absolutely.
You for bringing, you bring a lot of education and cheerfulness to the show. And I have something funny before we close. Can I share it with you?
Yeah, absolutely, please.
Okay, so to be clear, I saw this online, the South isn't afraid of a hurricane. We're afraid of being without AC in 90 degree weather with 100% humidity. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Absolutely.
Matthew with Claimology. I'll see you in a couple of weeks.
Absolutely. See you later.
We'll see you tomorrow, everyone. Be safe out there.
News, talk, traffic, and weather. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.